You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you bet fair on football, you get daily rewards. So any day can be a big deal. So whether it's a lower league match day, a top flight derby day, or a Champions League superstar showdown day, this week we're doubling our daily rewards. Get a €10 free bet when you bet €20 worth of multiples or bet builders. Double daily rewards, because we're Betfair.
Max €10 free bet per day. Each bet must have at least one selection of minimum odds of 1.5 or 1 to 2 or more. Free bet valid 24 hours on multiples or bet builders. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Visit gamblingcare.ie.
This is a Crowd podcast.
Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.
Hello, welcome back to 21st Century Football, a complete guide of football since the year 2000. My name's Will Brazier, and you already know that. I'm joined by Statman Dave. How are you, Dave?
Very good. Very, very good.
Wow.
Yeah. Double berries.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Jesus.
You okay?
Yeah, good.
You want to set your temperature?
No, I'm good.
Lovely stuff. And Adam Brown, how are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm all right. I don't sound quite a surprise to me as well. Dave was quite shocked that he was feeling well, I think. Don't know why.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm good. I'm very good.
Yeah, it's well, you know. Great news in the press. All good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm like a cartoon character. Today we are talking about Kaká, gents. Dave, are you excited?
I'm very excited. I think this is the reason why I'm excited. Kaká, my favourite player of all time.
Really?
There you go, bang, said it.
Now, I'm not going to say this is a positive or negative, but I think that says a lot about you.
Okay, could you divulge why?
No, I'm just going to leave that there and say, Adam, can you read his Wikipedia page so we can learn a little bit about him?
Okay, let's find out a bit more about the man himself. Obviously, a retired Brazilian professional footballer. Played predominantly as an attacking midfielder. His performance as a playmaker in his prime at AC Milan is the time that everyone focuses on mainly, I think. A period marked by his creative passing, goal scoring and dribbles from midfield. He's widely considered as one of the best players of his generation. Big claim, justified, what do you reckon?
I actually was thinking the other day, away from, I know Dave will obviously deep dive on the stats, but I actually think he's a very underrated PES 6 player. A lot of people go for your Rakobas, your Adrianos.
I know what you're saying, actually. That AC Milan team was very, very good on the counter-attack. Yeah. You'd have Kaká just in the hole. You play three forwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Balls over the top galore.
Yeah.
That was the one where you could basically just chip through ball and it worked like an absolute dream.
Well, I just sort of mean he looked quite good on it.
You are just something else.
What, a realistic face?
Well, yeah, we're talking PS2 graphics here, gents. Yeah. Let's tell the facts as they are. And for those sort of graphics, even looking back in 2021 at them, he did look quite good.
Hats off to Konami. Yeah. Okay, let's see. a little bit more about what he actually did. Success club level and at a national level as well. And this is an impressive stat, by the way. One of eight players to have won the World Cup, the Champions League, and the Ballon d'Or. Which I sometimes don't realise how much he actually did win, because I feel like there's so many players around at the same time as him that it does go a little bit. Under the carpet a little bit almost. So that's some of the things that he achieved. Also, the Milan team, which you obviously alluded to, Dave, he helped them win the 2007 Champions League final. He was a top goal scorer as well, and then he won the FIFA World Player of the Year, the 2007 Ballon d'Or, the UEFA Club Footballer of the Year, and the World's Best Playmaker Award as well. Then, we're talking transfers as well. You know, at one point, the money spent on him was the world record transfer fee.
Oh, was it?
Hell of a lot
it?
Of money. It was 67 million euros when he went from Milan to Madrid in 2009.
Now, what does that get you now, Ad?
Oh, no, sorry, it was the second highest transfer fee at
sorry.
The time.
What does that get you, though, 67 million euros
half
now?
A Gareth Bale?
Yeah.
Half a Gareth, what, a 31-year-old Gareth
yeah,
Bale?
Yeah, half a 31-year-old Gareth Bale, probably.
We'll get you a Ruben Diaz.
Get your picture with Ruben Diaz for 67 million euros.
So that was his transfer fee. So obviously, you know, there was a lot of money spent on him. And, you know, rightly so, because around that era, he was unbelievable. International level as well. He made his debut in 2002. He was in the World Cup squad that year, 2006. He went to the tournament and 2010 as well. And he was also a member of the 2005 and 2009 FIFA Confederations Cup winning squads. And he won the Golden Ball Award in 2009 as the best player in the tournament. So when you look at his achievements, you know, for me, I sometimes think he does go under the radar a little bit. I know, obviously, Dave, you're a huge...
I don't understand why. No, I know why. I think the big reason why is Messi and Ronaldo. Because they've been so dominant, and the last player to win the Ballon d'Or that wasn't Messi and Ronaldo. Fuck, go on, hit me.
That was the only stat I had, Dave, and you fucking take...
Kaká. Yeah? Kaká.
Let's talk stats before, because I know you bring a lot to the table, but that was the only stat I did have, and you've taken it away from me. And we're only... 4 minutes in.
Oh, God. Is that you done then? Are you checking out?
Have a good one, fellas.
Thank you.
Cheers, chat amongst yourselves.
But no, I think Kaká, for me, is a player that glides. There's certain players in European football that move the ball in such a effortless way. And Kaká, stylistically, a lot of young players that I watch now, when they have that characteristic, you know that it's a good player. And it's that ability just to accelerate. It's almost like... I prefer it to watching than watching like a slight attacking midfield, like a messy dribble. Like, it's a little bit more elegant the way that Kaká moves, because he was quite tall. You know, it's just a bit different, and stylistically, that's what I like.
He was deceptively tall, wasn't he?
See what you're both doing here. You're looking at me and thinking, I can see a lot of him in you, Will. That's what you're doing.
Well, I've seen you carry the ball. It isn't quite as elegant.
Does he glide, Dave? Does he glide?
He's more like Bambi than a stallion, shall we say.
What if you used the word glide for Kaká, what would you use for me?
Stumble.
Yeah, I was going to go with stagger. So it's one of the two. You know, they both work.
Gents, obviously he's done a lot in his career, but more recently he sort of I'm not going to say come to prominence, because that would be very disrespectful to a man that's won a Ballon d'Or, but sort of came to everyone's attention again by playing a five-a-side. I think it was down in Hackney, wasn't it, Dave? We've seen the video.
Yep.
Let's throw it behind the curtain. We know how these sort of things work, guys. He didn't just turn up. Obviously, a pre-arranged event for Adidas. Yeah. But there's a couple of lads on there demanding the ball, wasn't there?
I don't understand it. Like, what are you doing? Greatest player of all time for me? One of the greatest players of all time. What are you doing? Five-a-side, let him do what he's doing.
Ad, we've not played five-a-side together. No. What's your position?
I'm kind of a sort of defensive midfield, enforcer, sort of.
So would you have the balls, the gravitas to ask for...
I'd probably just gone straight in on the tackle, just straight in, tackled him.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. Just, I don't care about, you know, why reasons he's being there.
We've all paid our fivers.
Exactly, mate. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? If I paid me money to play five-a-side, I want to get at least a couple of touches of the ball. Ballon d'Or winner or not, pass it me.
Yeah. Dave, why... You've obviously said he's your favourite footballer of the 21st century, which sort of null and voids this podcast straight away. Why is he?
I think one of the things that I've gained as I've got a bit older is respect for players that achieve glory at Old Trafford. It's a difficult thing when you're in the moment. So
let me get the red agenda check. Eight minutes in.
16 years old, semi-final Champions League.
Right.
This is after AC Milan have consistently just knocked United out of European competition. This is what they've done over the past like 3 or 4 years. And from watching Rui Costa and him carry Milan and Pirlo, Gattuso, Ambrosini, to then see Kaká take to the stage at Old Trafford and just dominate. Yeah, I think that's when you look back on it and you think, wow, I saw a performance of greatness there.
Yeah.
Unplayable. And, you know, it's one of those things where I look back and one of my favourite players when I was growing up was Gabriel Batistuta. And first goal I saw at Old Trafford was Gabriel Batistuta.
He played in the 90s.
But just in terms of that, I think it's that respect that you gain from these players that come to play in your own ground, and then they show how good they are. And I think that shows great character. And you speak to Darren Fletcher, you speak to Wes Brown about that day, and they were just like, we could not get near him. And for that level of European football, the top level, Man United were a good team then. But to have someone that's so dominant in that game, it's just... That impresses me even more looking back and looking at it as more of a, from an analytical perspective, so good.
The thing is that you know, reading off from his Wikipedia page and realizing again of all those awards that he won and the trophies and stuff, I don't know. There's something about him for me that I've never considered him to be the very top level for me. Yeah. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because, again, it might be. I think we've mentioned this on previous podcasts where you know you look at the length of time that he did it for, maybe, and then you look at that move that we mentioned in 2009 when he went from Milan, where he arguably played his best football, to Madrid, and that was meant to be like the hallowed great move. And at the time, they were building that team with so many great players, and
with Jose Mourinho.
Oh, here we go. So it's Jose's fault.
It's all Jose's fault. Poor old Kaká was fine before he played under Jose Mourinho. No, I think the big thing with Kaká was all his game was quite geared to pace. The reason why he was so good because he had that little bit of acceleration, that burst of pace. And again, being tall, being athletic, that gave him a big edge on the dribble. That he had that little yard of pace to either go past someone or knock a ball in, draw them in, and then go again. And I think that losing that is big.
Yeah, but it was also sort of like that second stage of the Galacticos, wasn't it? They had the first period. It was like, you know, when you had S Club 7, but then you had S Club Juniors. You just know going into it, it's never going to be as successful.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you make a fair point. I think, you know, you've got Kaká, you've got Ronaldo. Yeah. Can you fit all these players in? You know, we talk a lot about balancing European football, and Makélélé was a big reason why the Galacticos worked. They had no balance in that side. It was a bit of a mess.
Who was part two? It was like Rubinho.
Yeah. Well, that Boys was a failed transfer within its own self. So yeah. They got the policy all wrong. Yeah,
it felt like trying to replace that initial kind of Galactic, and it never quite clicked because I think it was more about like, again, you know, it was more like collecting Pokemon at the time, wasn't it? And it was like, let's just get as many as we can get and see if it works. Yeah, and it just didn't, unfortunately. But my argument would be, if he was that much of a, you know, generational talent, should he have just been able to...
Well, injuries as well. Like injuries finish players' careers off, and Kaká, that's what happened to Kaká. He was injured for quite a lot of his Real Madrid career. And as well, I think AC Milan got a very good deal. They sold him at completely the right time. Like, if you're looking at a club's in terms of the success that Kaká brought Milan, like, he really turned them back into a dominant force. Like, he was part of that team that they were a good team, but he was the real sort of cherry on top. That you think the final against Liverpool that they lost in Istanbul, like, he carried them through that tournament. And then, you know, 2 years later in the 2006-2007 tournament, he was unbelievable. He was really unbelievable. It was almost like he had a bit of a chip on his shoulder that he wanted to go through. And I think the diversity of the goals that he scored in that tournament, the long range strikes, the mazy dribbles through people, he really carried that side. And I think that's something that we've got to look at in terms of, you know, from both a level of when AC Milan sold and what they got for with him. Arguably the perfect bit of business for them.
I'm just thinking, throwing it forward to the ratings later, he did actually lose a final to a team that would have had Jimmy Traoré in them.
That, you know, you make these points, and I'm not gonna get drawn into this rubbish.
That's just fact.
Yeah, but you've got at least 5 points knocked off for that alone, isn't it? Surely. Yeah.
Dave, I believe you've got a lovely quote that summarises the beautiful Kaká, as you would say.
The beautiful Kaká, as I would say.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do actually have a quote, Will. Thanks for asking me.
No worries, mate.
Yeah, a big Kaká fan here. It seems like you two are haters, and I've just got to defend it. And you know what? Another man that's going to come along and defend him, little Andre Pirlo. Do you think Pirlo's a good midfielder? Do you think he can judge players? Because I certainly do. For 2 or 3 years, he was the best player in the world. There was a point when teams just had no ideas how to stop him.
You see, I was going to say, who said that, Pirlo or Statman Dave? It could have been either. Now, you know, obviously played alongside him, not going to dispute that. But again, I'm going to go back to the longevity thing. For a year or two, he was probably one of the best players in the world. But I don't know. I was never fully convinced on him.
But is this not the same sort of time period as well when we've another man that's featured on this podcast?
Ronaldinho. It's the same thing. We get these weird problems. Our brains are now ruined by Ronaldo Messi. Yeah, back to this point.
No, you're right.
Because of the consistency of those guys, we forget that there was players that were unbelievable for a year, 2-3 years.
Yeah, and that was fine. That was all right.
That was fine, yeah. You get over. Like, to have the, you know, to develop how Kaká developed in that period and how he improved AC Milan, Carlo Ancelotti, in terms of how he moved that team on, you know, from that Liverpool final where they're very much a diamond to the Christmas tree. You know, what a way to describe a football formation. It gets me really excited. Carlo Ancelotti talking about using Kaká in a sort of false position, Seedorf and Kaká playing behind Inzaghi.
Right.
and developing it in a way where defensively they're very, very solid. They defended in a 4-4-1-1. Kaká sitting behind Inzaghi. Stay with me, Will.
No, I'm just trying to picture.
Then Seedorf would move from that left wing position to an attacking midfield position when Milan had the ball.
Does this still keep the integrity of the tree?
The tree is just about integral.
Right, okay.
But what it meant from Kaká was he played a little bit deeper, but could also move into the striking position. And that led to him being so dominant in Europe. 10 goals and 3 assists in 13 games.
Yeah, you know what, Will,
every single game.
You're thinking just play over the top, Pez 6.
Yeah, I'm thinking like Christmas tree, but with nothing in the middle. Just sort of angel on the top, all the way down the bottom, straight to the present.
Well, there was an angel up top, and that was Inzaghi.
Come on, that's brilliant.
And the final against Liverpool.
Yeah.
Similar to the first final against Liverpool where Kaká opened up.
Is that the one that he puts a sick ball into Crespo? Inzaghi? Crespo?
Inzaghi? Yeah, for the second final. The first one's Crespo, second final's to Inzaghi.
Right.
Opens up the scoring, great ball. And I think that's the quality of Kaká, that not only did he impact it from a goal scoring perspective that season in the Champions League,
yeah,
but again, a playmaker. And a playmaker in a sense of, we're not talking like a player that's going to dominate the ball deep. We're talking in the final third, a playmaker. And I think that's where the top level are. When you've got a playmaker that impacts everything going forward,
yeah,
that's when you know this is the guy.
You're sat on the fence a bit here, Will.
No, I was just going to say to you, and I think I'll respond after that, but it says here, do we miss players like Kaká in the modern game? But I also wanted to put a twist on that as, do we miss... We spoke about Ronaldinho, and I sort of, in a weird way, missed that sort of three-year peak and then the drop-off. And I don't know if that's because I'm sick of having Messi and Ronaldo in a weird way.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a bit of mystique about it, isn't there?
Yeah, 100%. But are you saying that you'd quite like a player to be unbelievable for 3 years and then he just drops off suddenly and you go, that's brilliant, I love that.
I
that's the sort of player that
I'm
like.
I'm too used to watching like YouTube videos where it's the rise and the fall of Kaká.
Yeah, it's almost like you want to see the fall.
Yeah,
do you
know
what I mean? You miss that kind of complete dip after 3 years of greatness. No, I know what you mean, but you know, I think we've mentioned it previously as well that maybe sometimes with some players that can actually be beneficial, and you can look back with more fondness than you have these three unbelievable years, and it doesn't really matter how it ends because you look back on those 3 years and that's what you judge them from. I think that if we're going to judge Kaká as an iconic 21st century player, we have to kind of ignore that bit at the end, really. Do you know what I mean? We have to look at it just purely from, if we're going to judge him as being one of the top players, which obviously Dave, you're arguing he is, we've got to look at that AC Milan period. I don't even think we can really count the Real Madrid years, really.
No.
You know.
And obviously we celebrate Kaká and we'll keep doing that for this podcast, but is he benefiting from the team that he was part of? Because he went to Real Madrid, he hasn't got a Gattuso around him, he hasn't got a Seedorf around him. Now he's got a plucky little Thomas Gravesen. I don't know if
again,
he
back to that quote,
him.
You know, no one had an idea how to stop him from Pirlo.
Yeah.
And I mentioned, like,
it's in Pirlo's interest to say that.
I've spoken to players that played in that Man United team and they say the same thing. They didn't know what to do. Too fast, too skillful, too strong, too technically good, could go either way. And I take you back to that semi-final. The way that he opened up Manchester United.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way, you know, we all remember that second goal, but the first goal was just so calm in front of goal. Like, as being there as a Man United fan, I knew that it was a goal. Into the box, I knew it's a goal. I knew as soon as he flicks the ball over the two United defenders and they run into each other that he scored. Even before he's taken it. I think that, in a way, shows greatness. You know when Messi and Ronaldo are clean through, you know, that's going to probably be a goal. That's a goal.
Yeah.
It had the same thing with Kaká, that he was at such a level and was playing at such a, you know, in such confidence and full flow that you just knew in the penalty area, he scored it.
Yeah.
Well, just to sort of touch on... you know, away from the pitch a little bit, because that's something that we do.
That's mine and yours, bread and butter.
Yeah, pretty much. No, but that is something which, you know, if you look at iconic players, you can't just look at what they do on the pitch, and especially 21st century, when we really saw the uptake of endorsements and sponsorship deals and stuff like that. He always seemed quite, like, reserved, didn't he, as well? It wasn't any of the shenanigans that we got from maybe, you know, people we've spoke about previously on podcasts, like the Ronaldinho or other, you know... players around.
Wasn't on a money grab, sort of.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he did have his fair share of endorsements, didn't he, still? You know, and he did he was on the front of, you know, FIFA's and whatever else. But I mean, I don't really know much about him as a person.
No, even like that stuff he did down at Hackney with the five-a-side stuff, I just thought he just came across like a really nice guy.
Yeah.
But I think he does a lot of charity work, and I think that's something that we don't champion players for, because it doesn't sell papers, does it? So if you're talking about someone's good charity, it doesn't sell papers. What sells papers is a scandal about Ronaldinho going on the going on the smash for 2 days. And I think that's something that we are...
I'm intrigued.
We're almost at fault for in our culture.
Oh, that so it's my fault.
It's your fault for not celebrating Kaká and his charity work.
You're listening to 21st Century Football. We're going to take a little ad break. We'll be back after this.
Hello. Hello there. What voice do you want me to do? We will do a little bit. I'll just do my voice.
Do your voice.
Yeah, thanks.
Hello, I'm Joe Marler. People think I hate people, but I don't.
I actually love interaction with people.
I love finding out what jobs they do and whether I could do what they do. The Joe Marler Show.
Joe Marler Show.
With new episodes every Wednesday.
When you Betfair on football, you get daily rewards. So any day can be a big deal. So whether it's a lower league match day, a top flight derby day, or a Champions League superstar showdown day, this week we're doubling our daily rewards. Get a €10 free bet when you bet €20 worth of multiples or bet builders. Double daily rewards because we're Betfair.
Max €10 free bet per day. Each bet must have at least one selection of minimum odds of 1.5 or 1 to 2 or more. Free bet valid 24 hours on multiples or bet builders. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Visit gamblingcare.ie.
Acast recommends podcasts we love.
If you are looking for a brand new true crime podcast, listen to The Making of a Detective, brought to you by The Irish Sun. The series is out right now and focuses on many of Ireland's most notorious cases and the man who once solved them. In episode 1, Pat Murray's story begins with the historic 2007 conviction of the murderer Joe O'Reilly.
Put his thumb up and he said, "I see you, Pat," like, you know, as if to say, "F you, you can't get me."
Follow along as we share the dramatic details of each case. Download The Making of a Detective.
Acast is home to the world's best podcasts, including the critically acclaimed West Cork and the one you're listening to right now.
A little game that I thought we might have a little play. Go on. The numbers game. Oh, it's called. Dave's eyes lit up.
I know, yeah.
I do like a good shirt number.
If I
name.
Beat you, you have to depole your middle name to Kaká.
Okay, that's fine. Well, I was going
to
do it anyway.
He's got to change his name to Kaká.
Middle name. I was going to do it anyway, to be honest. Okay. Well, I was going to call my first son Kaká.
So basically, yeah, we're gonna look at his squad numbers. Because obviously, certain players straight away,
got you.
I can name you a player and you go, oh, number,
yeah,
you know.
22.
Okay, well, don't have to dive in yet.
I just wanted to put a marker out there, Dave. Yeah, numbers is your game, but I'm sort of here to play as well.
Yeah,
it's fine, okay. That's okay.
So we're going to go through the different stages of Kaká's career, and you've got to tell me what shirt number he wore.
Oh,
I don't know who we're going to.
I'm stuck after 22.
Yeah, right, okay, he went early. Right, we're going to start his first club, Sao Paulo.
17.
This is going to be the hardest one, I think, because this is probably before he came to true prominence. But right, so what I'll alternate. So first of all, Will, you can go first on this one.
17?
You're going for 17. Dave, what are you going for?
Well, stop pretending you know the answer.
21.
Number 8.
Oh, so you've all that's wrong. Obvious!
See what I mean? Not iconic.
That's where he played. That's a traditional right. Number 8.
Okay, next. He obviously went to AC Milan then. Dave, you can go first on this.
22.
It was 22. It was 22.
I said it first. So
nice. You both get a point for that. Because to be fair, I mean, before we even started the game, Will, you just
yeah,
said
sorry,
the,
mate.
You just said the number 22.
Yeah.
But you did mean it for that,
yeah.
Didn't you?
Yeah. That
okay. Next up, then he went to Real Madrid for that massive transfer fee that we said. Will, you're up first on this one, mate. What are you saying? What squad number? You're picturing the kit, aren't you?
Yeah.
What are you saying?
I'm going to go for 8.
What are you saying?
8.
No, I
knew it was 8.
You're
best
a
about.
Slug.
No best
it was,
about.
It was 8. It no was 8. About. It was 8. Damn. Right, okay. Then, obviously, went back to AC Milan, didn't he? If you remember.
Yeah, yeah.
Question is, was the 22 shirt available?
I think if you've got anything about you as a marketing department, especially in that age, it's got to be
but
22.
Sometimes you have those players that you've got to talk them out of giving up their shirt number.
If he signed for Birmingham, he couldn't actually have 22 because it's retired.
Well, there you go.
How mad's that?
We can't bring out of retirement, can they, either?
No, until we win the Champions League.
For a 16-year-old. Jesus.
Dave, we'll come to you on this one, mate. He went back to AC Milan after the, I'm not going to say ill-fated Madrid stint, because he did all right, didn't he?
You see, I don't think he went back with 22. Uh-huh. I'm going to go with number 8.
What are you saying, Will?
I'll go 22. It was 22.
Yeah.
I tried to throw a few red herrings
there going, oh, was the 22 available? Nice. Oh, was there anyone here to kick out the 22 shirt?
You absolutely played you.
It's not.
I've got a picture of him in number 8 for Milan. So
yeah, well, it's a fraudulent fake news, pal.
Boys, maybe a little game after he retired.
It ain't a testimonial.
Yeah,
it ain't over yet. Oh, then no. He went to Sao Paulo. He went back to Sao Paulo, back to his roots, back to his original club.
Yeah.
We're coming to you first, Dave, on this one.
22.
8.
It was 8.
Yes! Yeah!
But Will, I'll tell you what, you did win that, pal. You won it, so well done. So your early confidence where you just shouted the number 22
sorry,
seems to have seems to be justified. There you go, that's the numbers game.
Love that. Well, that was an iconic game. Let's go to the iconic moment, gents. When I say Kaká, you say
how high?
Go on.
No?
You're right. You're in a daze, aren't you?
Yeah, no, I'm just gutted. I think that United performance, we've already spoke about that. I think in the final against Liverpool as well, superb in both finals. That first half when Liverpool were getting absolutely thumped, when Milan were 3-0 up, it was Kaká was running absolute riot. And obviously Benitez changed his tactics and system to deal with him, which I think is credit to Kaká. But no, I think either of those final performances, the semi-final against Manchester United, that was like peak Kaká for me.
What about you?
I'd probably agree with Dave. I'd say that semi-final performance was, for me, as a... To see as a standalone performance that springs to mind for him, that it's got to be that for me. Just and that was one of the only times when I thought, oh, I get the hype now.
Yeah,
which sounds a bit disrespectful to Kaká, but do you know what I mean? He's one of them players that I heard a lot more about.
Yeah.
For years and years, and I always kind of felt like I was waiting for him to deliver. And then when you saw that, you're like, oh yeah,
he's finally done it against the English team. We fall into that trap a lot.
No. It wasn't even that. It wasn't like, can he do it on a Monday night in Stoke? Yeah. It wasn't that, which he probably couldn't. No, I'm joking. For me, it was like
Danny Higginbottom up against Kaká. You think there's Danny Higginbottom's coming up on top? Ryan Shawcross in there.
Can I tell a quick Danny Higginbottom story?
Look, mate, if you're quick, and it's about Kaká.
Is it 90s?
No, it's right, 2000. I was at uni, I was doing my degree, and I was doing a little radio documentary for my final major project, and I've managed to secure Danny Higginbottom, which, as you can imagine,
big squeeze,
shivers around the campus.
I bet the student union was bouncing.
And my mate gave me his number, and he was like, yeah, I'll do it. So I had to book out a studio, and then rang him at 6, 5 past 6, 10 past 6, quarter past, rang him for about an hour, and he didn't pick up. I just sat in that studio all alone and didn't speak to Danny Higginbottom.
So you failed?
Yeah.
How are you here? Surely that should be it. That's
well,
you
yeah, that's the
game.
Rise and fall of Will Brazier.
Yeah. So Kaká, what a player.
what I was going to say about Kaká, I think we are very lucky that we grew up with a generation of ITV on a Tuesday, Wednesday night for Champions League football. Terrestrial TV Champions
Prime.
League. I mean, how lucky were we?
No, you're right, actually. That we got to actually see him a lot more than some players that, you know, you might not get, if you can't afford to do that, you get a chance to watch Champions League now. There's a lot of players that can just kind of go under the radar, and sometimes it's more about hype than actually seeing the player doing what they can actually do, which I felt out about Kaká for a long time until you see those performances, which I don't know. I mean, he had that, like we said, that year or two where he had that consistency. But for me, sometimes he just felt like it was... switched on and off when he felt like
probably
it.
Watching the wrong game, weren't you?
Yeah,
probably watching Inter Milan, not AC Milan.
Damn, that's what it was.
Right, gents, we've now come to what is fastly becoming one of the most controversial segments of the show.
I think I'm fair with my assessment and judgment. I just want you to both take this more seriously.
Dave's trying to distance himself from me and you here.
Absolutely. I'm going to sit on the other side of the sofa.
He's like,
have my own score.
He's like, putting us under the bus.
Yeah. There's many, I mean, Dave, you do it on your own channel. There's many great pundits and analysts out there who will analyse the player for his on-pitch performance. But we ain't all about that. we're about much more than that. And that's why we have our three different segments, our three different categories. So starting off with, would we like to go for a pint with him? And what I would say, just to maybe sway your argument, very, very, very good English. Comparison to my Portuguese.
Would I like to go for a pint with him? I wouldn't say no, but I won't be jumping at the
I've texted you, and I've gone, I can't make it tonight, but will you go down Jimmy's for a pint with Kaká?
And so I'd say, well, is he expecting you or does he know it's going to be me?
I said, I've told him it's you.
And he's happy with that?
He's fine with that.
Yeah. All right, okay. I'm not going to say no because it makes me look like I've got something against him then, don't
I?
Right,
so we've got at least a 5 out of 10.
We're straight in there with a 5. I'd quite like to chat to him about his career. I think it'd be quite intriguing to see. I don't know if I'd be a good laugh. I could be wrong, but I don't know what his anecdotes are like.
Are you going to find out?
What do you think? Oh, the only one way to find out, isn't it? But what do you reckon?
I'm not like jumping out with I'd be more intrigued to go for a pint with Stephen Kelly. You know, because he played for Blues. He's probably got a bit more stories that I'd be
That's
after.
Unbelievable.
But do you know what I mean? It's because it's me.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Yeah, because you've got more of a association with that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe let's start on a positive. Dave, what would you like to do? Is it
I'd like to go and talk about his World Cup win, his Champions League win, his Ballon d'Or win.
I forgot about all that.
His World Cup win.
There's quite a lot I'd like to talk to Kaká about. You know, from humble beginnings
Dave,
to how he keeps himself down, to his good charity work. Look, I'd love to speak to him. I'd love to say, look, Kaká, best player I've ever seen at Old Trafford for the away team, mate. Congrats. There's the award. Statman Dave's, you know, a bit of approval there, Kaká. Congratulations, you've done the lot. 62 games in the Champions League, 25 goals, 14 assists, unbelievable record. Thank you and good night, 10 out of 10 from me, Jeff.
I mean, to be fair, I was worrying about who expected me or you, and there's a lot we could probably talk about with
it. But just on the World Cup thing, it was in 2002, and he only made a substitute appearance against Costa Rica.
Ooh.
Was he in the squad?
Yeah, he was in the squad.
Yeah, so he's got great stories. Imagine being on the bench. Ooh. Imagine what he could tell about the party.
Maybe he went to
bed at 12 o'clock. Maybe he was in bed, tucked in bed before Ronaldinho really got the party
started.
But
he could hear the music through the wall.
That's a one point. Exactly. Right, Dave, what are you going for?
I'm going 10.
10 for Dave.
10.
What are you going for?
6.
6. I'll match you at 6. 5 aside. We've seen he can actually do it.
Yep, he can turn up.
Unselfish. Puts on a bit of magic. But not too much magic. What are we going for?
I mean, I think he'd be a great five-a-side. I think, do you know what? We've obviously criticised players in the past for being like ball hoggers and they wouldn't pass and, you know, does it just, you know, justify you paying a fiver to play? I think he'd be a great player. Has he got the engine? I don't know. I'm going to say an 8.
Statman? Yeah, I think that's a fair score. I think, he, you know, maybe sometimes he'd hold on to the ball a little bit too long, but he can see the pass. I'd say about an 8. Go for an 8 as well.
I'm going to go for an 8. My workings out are...
Was number 8 at Real Madrid.
You've lost that game. I don't think he'd go in goal, and I think he'd be like, if you went on a little bit hard on him, he'd go, come on.
Would. Yeah, he'd give you the look, wouldn't he?
I'm playing properly. Are you? So that's an 8 from me.
Yeah.
Iconic player, iconic moments. What are we saying, Dave?
10. The last player to win the Ballon d'Or before Messi and Ronaldo. I think that is a statement in its own right.
The thing is, I think that. Even though I might not have come across as being his biggest fan in this podcast,
and that's fine.
I do think that from an iconic kind of perspective, I do think he's probably right up there because I think of that era. When you think about the great players in the world, straight away he springs to mind. Mm. And I think that he did achieve so much. Actually, I think that he probably won a lot more than people realise, especially those individual awards. I'm going to go for a 9.
9, okay.
Yeah, because I do think he's couldn't, and I think he will stand the test of time as well moving forward. Go on, Will.
I'm going to take.
You have got to do that before you think. He's
looking. It's me smoking a pipe for anyone that's listening.
I've got a smoking jacket on. I've got my slippers on.
Just wants to be very cultured before he gives his score.
Now I'm going to give a terrible score for Kaká.
I don't think I can give him the World Cup victory as a full 10.
The 2002?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, played very well against Costa Rica. I'll go 8. Let me just do the sums. Talk amongst yourselves.
I think he's done all right there.
I think he's done very well.
I think he's done quite well on the legendary status. I think it's just the beers that have let him down.
Kaká out of 90 scores 75.
Oh, that's a good score.
Respectable. Respectable score.
Very good score, considering some of the harsh critiques other players have.
That is a really good score.
Gents, Kaká, for me, I think we're in the sort of similar boat where reminiscing about him, sort of taking him up a notch from where he was in my head.
Yeah, I definitely. Do you know what, actually? I didn't think I was going to be as positive about him in this podcast as I have been.
And Dave, has your love just grown even stronger for him?
Yeah, I feel more connected to him now because I realise there's some haters around. Oh. I've got to defend my man from now on. So number 22 for AC Milan, number 8 for Real Madrid. I'll remember those for the rest of my life.
He's still smarting, isn't he, over that?
You could have gone like hate. No, forget it.
Stop it.
And there we have it, gents. That's the end of today's Kaká episode. Dave's love goes stronger and he's got some newfound fans in me and Ad. If you'd like to listen to other episodes, find us at 21st Century Football on all your favourite podcast device. We're also on social media and, of course, on YouTube. If you'd like to listen to another podcast, go over to the Footballer Book Club. Instead of reviewing great literature, they review footballers' autobiographies. This week, they are listening to Mesut Ozil's Gunning for Greatness. Bet there's some
Gelsenkirchen started. Bit of a stint in Madrid, bit of a stint in London. Great career.
It's their podcast, not yours. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
It sound right, boy.
Crowd Network. A place where you belong.
When you Betfair on football, you get daily rewards. So any day can be a big deal. So whether it's a lower league match day, a top flight derby day, or a Champions League superstar showdown day, this week we're doubling our daily rewards. Get a €10 free bet when you bet €20 worth of multiples or bet builders. Double daily rewards because we're Betfair.
Max €10 free bet per day. Each bet must have at least one selection of minimum odds of 1.5 or 1 to 2 or more. Free bet valid 24 hours on multiples or bet builders. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Visit gamblingcare.ie.
Sports Social Podcast Network.